it is a priority.
It's
a priority among other things.
So, considering this, how high do you think environmental protection is in your list of priorities? Because
no, it's quite high. You know why? Because for economic development to come in, you have to have adequate physical infrastructure. And as I said earlier, that
protection.
Environmental protection is also important in the sense of protecting also physical environments for people to live, and that should be ingrained into your public infrastructure program. Protection definitely goes into that for eco-sustainability of the ecology, sustainable tourism development. It's very important. And I know probably where the intent of the question will lead. Extraction activities, perhaps mining and the like. There's a big debate because mining, in accordance with the several economists and chambers of commerce, is one of the biggest question, not only involving national policy but ultimately involving local sentiments and policies. And I know for a fact, as a starting point, that if you allow mining in an area where the people don't want it to happen, it is not sustainable on both ends. You have to convince the population in an area that it will be to the ultimate benefit of the area in concern and to redounding to national benefits. And there has to be an honest-to-goodness exit plan that will leave the area in as much the same condition as it was before the mining activity was done. So open pit mining definitely is not, I mean, is not really a favored method. You don't want to leave a lake. Probably a tunnel, fine. But the tunneling also must be really safe because of the volcanic nature of certain areas. It may release steam, it may release geothermal gases under, which will lead to an earthquake, which we don't know about.
My question was not really leading towards mining, but more or it was leading actually to the international environmental treaties. Are you optimistic that the Philippines will be able to meet carbon targets, for example?
I'm optimistic about it because of the fact that we don't produce even 1% of these greenhouse gases. And
But
it will be an issue if development comes in.
Yes, it will.
It will be a big issue as to sustainable development too, because of the cost of compliance too with these international agreements like the Kyoto Protocol. No. So, right now, I think the focus should be on what the other countries are doing to us, and then probably if they own up to their responsibility and put their money where their mouths are. We'll have an easier time complying with development, with keeping in mind our carbon emissions. Kailangan may amelioration sa atin. Eh. I mean, it's our right.
Okay, we have only three more questions left. So, one for Patricio, and then I think Carlo Ople and is coming. Carlo Ople and Carlo. So,
Secretary, good morning. People say that you actually have a capability of winning. However, most people perceive that even if you win in a clean elections, civil society will not accept it. First question.
Well, then civil society is uncivil if they don't accept the fact that I can win in a clean election.
Yeah, because of course, you know, for
then it's not civil society anymore, it's uncivil society already.
Yeah, okay. So,
I couldn't help it, I'm sorry.
No problem. I do share the same opinion, but okay. Given that, within the first 100 days, what would be your priority measures?
You know, the
priority
the
program.
Right.
And also, how would you resolve that situation if it occurs? Because before, if I remember correctly, in 1992, Fidel Ramos, the former president, won as a minority president.
Right.
And there was this political turmoil at that time.
A little bit.
Instigated by Miguel Defenders and Santiago.
Yeah.
Seems to be cheated.
Right.
So, in the current political situation right now is that the other camps, particularly
right.
the liberal, the
are already conditioning minds of
conditioning
people.
Conditioning the mindset
right,
of
right.
people that, you know.
Well, the first thing to do really is to try to achieve as much of a political consensus as possible after the election. That's the first thing that you really have to do, realistically speaking, besides choosing your cabinet, implementing your programs, concentrating on certain issues. You'll have to have that political harmony and try to get at least a bit of civility between those who are contesting an election, if possible. And that goal of political consensus, political harmony, political unity does not stop. It's an ongoing activity, not merely for presidential contenders, but in terms of political parties. I think you owe it also to your political party to build that kind of harmony. Now the programs, as I've been saying, with the several pressing issues facing the Philippines, you cannot afford to concentrate on any single one. There are a lot that you need to implement the first day. For example, basic education reform. We in accordance with the basic education roadmap, which was evolved by a committee, a commission on basic education, I think, then headed by Father Benvenido Nebres, who came out with the study. It says that you have to reform your basic education content-wise, curriculum-wise, because your high school graduate is not aligned with an international high school graduate or an ASEAN high school graduate, which will add probably 2 years. 1 year in elementary, 1 year in high school. You have to evolve a preschool program. Preschool program, you need to say, because that is devolved to local government. You need to have your daycare workers, but the preschool children do not receive any academic instruction, if at all. Now, some do, some don't. But in China, for example, two-year-olds are already taught under sponsorship of the state computer literacy skills and English language skills. No? I think you want to have to see seeds of introducing such kind of service here. Now, I think there's going to be a lot of work needed to be done to introduce the new curriculums that are required, because it not only works from the point of view of a student, but from the point of view of teachers also. You have to retrain and remotivate our teachers, but there's no choice, because we really have to align our educational standards to international standards, and unfortunately our system now does not do that. As I said earlier, maybe English as a second language is not enough to be competitive now. You may need to add more. All right. So you need to take care of the poorest of the poor. Right now, 700,000 families are under the care of the 4P program of the SWD under then Secretary S.P. Cabral and the President. It's called Pantawid Pamilya ng Pangulo program, meaning to say you get conditional cash transfers to the poorest of the poor, so that they do certain things. Those certain things, among more notably, are not to force their children to work, but to send them to school. The goal is to expand the coverage of this program to about 1 million families. Now, there is an attempt in Congress, though, to institutionalize this program. I feel that they should just give the funding to the DSWD and not try to institutionalize the program, because you don't want to institutionalize poverty. Okay, you want to see them graduate. Thirdly, you'll have to continue managing the agricultural sector, even our rice supply, very, very well. I mean, food security is a goal which doesn't stop. Happens every day. Fourth, you gotta continue with your logical connections of the public infrastructure program that has been done already. You have to continue the seamless interconnections between NLEX and SLEX. You have to continue with the extension of NLEX. You have to continue roads and bridges programs in places like Samar, like Surigao del Sur, like Zamboanga del Sur. For some places, it's the first time people have seen roads. So it's vitally important that we do that. Now, we have to introduce also next generation thinking in our infrastructure. For example, right now we're at the mindset of the RORO, But we see what happens when a ship sinks and traffic stuck 5 kilometers long to go to a pier like Calapan. We have to think and start the seeds of a next generation of thinking, namely bridges between islands and tunneling between islands. That's the only way that we can have the competitive advantage with our neighbors, or to keep a pace of it. And we say that it's still far, far away, but Hong Kong has it, Malaysia has it, and I think the Philippines will not be an exception. It should have it. Notably, for example, connections between Bohol and Cebu, Cebu and Negros, Surigao del Sur, del Norte to Southern Leyte, and the like. Relations, industrial peace is a necessity, and you will have to enhance the responsible participation of both labor and capital in increasing industrial harmony. Your peace and order situation is critical too. You have to continue with the program of re-indoctrinating our soldiers for internal security operations from an ideological war to that of crime fighting. You'll need to continue mapping up loose firearms on a sustainable basis. I said a sustainable basis, and it will take a whole hour to lecture on that. Because it's easy to disarm a group. When you leave, they'll rearm once again. And it's not that easy depending on the size of an armed group. You'll need a 10-to-1 advantage to keep your soldiers safe. You'll need to introduce your universal participative healthcare programs and plug the gaps in transaction costs in the current healthcare system. You'll need to rationalize that. You'll need to expand the base to mandatory coverage for all Filipinos and other permanent residents. You'll need to do something about the 42 billion pesos in debt owed by our farmers. You'll need to do something about our public sector to motivate our public sector employees. You need to take a grip very, very seriously immediately on our international relations, enhancing peaceful relations with all countries, and try to leverage our existing relations to the best of our advantage, of course, on an arm's length basis and on the basis of a realization that countries have their own needs and we can only meet halfway when it is to our mutual benefit. And you need also immediately to fast track the implementation of the renewable and sustainable energy roadmaps that are a result of the renewable energy law. You will also have to study alternative forms of energy to include nuclear power. Best example of a country that did it recently is the United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi. Recent investment of $25 billion with Korea to establish nuclear power plants in an oil exporting country, for also a principal reason that they feel nuclear energy is safer and cleaner than fossil fuels. Probably I have a whole list of other things, but I think those not in order of priority are quite important.
Okay, thank you, Pat. We just have 2 more questions and a photo op. So the next question goes to Sunny. You have a question? Get the mic. And then one from the online audience. There's so many questions from the online audience, hundreds and hundreds. Stay here forever.
You know, my mouth talks faster than my fingers do the typing. That's why I prefer this mode of blogging.
I tell you, that's right.
It's not easy.
We can last up to 3 hours, actually, but
I would wish I could stay for longer because I'm enjoying it. But
yeah, I know.
But you know, unfortunately, the schedule won't permit it.
Okay. Sadi, we can have your question.
Hello, good afternoon. Basically, my question is, since you are part of the administration party, we know the credibility of the administration party at the moment. So you are part of my, you are one of the candidates in my shortlist. One of my personal issues basically is how would you unite, assuming you will be win the presidency, and then we have your presidency and the way you want. So basically how would you handle that? How would you unite the nation?
First, I'm putting a start now by running a positive campaign. A campaign that respects each other and does not throw mud. You know, I think the country is sick and tired of that already. Number two, I've proven that I have the ability to to build a consensus, a principled consensus. What is the best evidence of that? One of the newest members of the Lakas Kampi CMD, and I was able to build that kind of consensus and that kind of support because I treat each person as a person. I don't stereotype, I don't judge. I've been in several situations before. I've been in the opposition, I've been with the administration. I know what it is to be in power, what it is to be outside of power. And I think the lesson learned is the most important thing is not enshrined in the Lakas Kampi CMD philosophy. That is the centrality of the individual as an individual, rather than typecasting, stereotyping, anything. I think it's a common tactic right now, really, to work on the basis of associations. But I think Filipinos should learn to wean themselves away from that, because it has many ramifications and manifestations, not merely in the political sense, but also in the regional sense. Visayan versus this, Ilonggo versus this, Ilocano versus this. The religious sense, where it is more pervasive, there is bias and bigotry. And I think it's time that Filipinos develop a more objective and scientific mindset, where they will be able to judge a person more objectively than mere association or associational tendencies. After all, life is not a basketball game all the time. We should go beyond teams and we should go to individuals too. So I think on the basis of that principle, I have the capacity to respect a person as a person. And I really don't care what perhaps the sins of his parents or whatever was. I judge him. And working on that principle and several nuances, of course, in actual life's experiences, I can perhaps build a consensus. And I think I hold enough credibility with those who are contending now to prove, and they know that I can do it.
That's a very good answer, because a lot of people I know really want to vote for you, except for that association. Anyway, our last question is also a little bit related. What is your stand on the Angla blood and the LGBT community?
For me. There are a lot of issues also facing a person who is gay. Social acceptance, they're relegated, stereotyped as only fit for certain kinds of professions. There are a lot of issues other than sexual that need to be articulated by society. Sexual preference is merely a portion of the issue that needs to be discussed. And to me, the best way to see whether Angladlad is right fully fit to be a political party is if they get the requisite number of votes to bring a person to Congress. Let the electorate speak. Let the electorate judge on whether or not it is a relevant, socially acceptable, or moral issue. That is the essence of the democratic process here. And I think that the COMELEC has no right to be a guardian of the morality of the public more so than a voter itself in questions, not except of course in certain egregious matters that society cannot still accept, like the pornography party, for example. I think the COMELEC can really stop it, you know, or Sabaka in UP, Samahan na mga bastos sa kantina. I don't think, I think some people from UP still remember that, you know. I think the COMELEC can step in. But in an issue such as Angladlad, I think let the electorate decide. Why close the door beforehand? You can't substitute your judgment for that of another in this kind of case. I mean,
thank you, Mr. Tidoro. On behalf of BlogWatch.ph and Viva Foundation and Philippine Online Chronicle, thank you for guesting here. And we would like to have a photo op with you,
sure,
as with all our presidential candidates. We want also one-on-one with you.
But before the photo op, I need to visit another infrastructure of the hotel.
Oh, no, it's a long walk. Good luck.
But two cups of coffee.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.